I'm reading from the second chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I've underscored these four words in verse 3. Was born afore. This man, sick of the palsy, was brought to Jesus by four. The text said he was born afore. And I'm naming these four this morning. I'm naming them. And you need to take these four to your field with you from this school. He was born afore. And we can visualize Jesus teaching and preaching in a building. And the passage says that there was such a throng of people there. Even the door itself was crowded to its capacity. No way of anyone else getting in. Well, there was a man sick of the palsy. And one of these four saw him. And I'm naming this one that saw the man sick of the palsy. I'm naming him Brother Compassion. He was touched with the feelings of this man sick of the palsy. It touched him. It touched him. The word compassion means touched with the feelings of others. And you'd be surprised to know the many people that go untouched. They aren't touched with the feelings of others. And there's really no need of you going to the field without compassion. Well, I don't think you would go without it. It's compassion that is prompting you to go. Touched with the feelings of others. But there's so many that are without compassion. In meditating of this thought that I have before you now, I was made to think of the parable known to us as the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho fell among thieves, passed by on the other side, a priest. Now, if it were said a man passed by on the other side, I could just read on. But a priest, back in those days, that was one of the highest titles and positions a man could have in the work of God, was that of a priest. and with his high exalted position in God's work, how could he be so cold and so indifferent and so carefree, so heartless, as to pass by on the other side of a fallen man? And I studied why could he do that? Why could he? And I was made to think of a slogan the Sunday school division used to have that I never did like it. And it must have not have been a good one, because you don't never hear of it anymore. Been a good one, it may have lasted. And it was this: plan your work and work your plan. Well, isn't that a beautiful statement? But if you've been in the work of the Lord very long, you know that's a hard thing to do, is to get up Monday morning and plan your week's work. Pastor in the church, a pastor can't get up Monday morning and plan his work. One telephone call can change 3 days of that week. A death, a funeral, and all that goes along with it. You just can't plan your work and work your plan. Many, many, many times, pastors just get up and dress. Where are you going? I don't know. I really don't know. Don't know what I'm getting ready for, but just open to the work of God. That pastor would stop there, but that priest had probably planned his day. And that fallen, dying man wasn't in his plans. So he gonna work his plans. I can't stay on this very long. And it could have been that he wasn't in his schedule. Wasn't in his schedule. And I'll just let you put meat on that. It wasn't on the Sabbath. That priest had discharged his duties on the Sabbath. And this is between Sabbaths. I have responsibility to no one day. I discharge my duties Sabbath. Listen, friends, we have duties, but we better not just fall of discharging a duty. Praise God. I preach to the church against piano player coming and sitting down. It's her duty to play the piano. It's a song leader's duty to lead the singing. The organist's duty to play the organ. It's a preacher's duty to preach. Let's all come and discharge our duty. I tell you, all you're going to have is a meeting, gathering. You're not going to have no service. Praise God, all of these years I've refused to take preaching the gospel as my duty. I accept it as my pleasure. And worship God while I'm a-preaching. Praise the Lord. Worship God. Amen. Forget the duty. Forget it. Forget it. It's a pleasure. Thank God. So that priest, he was really had no compassion. He wasn't touched. He passed by on the other side. But this brother compassion was touched with the feelings of this man sick of the palsy. He was touched. He possibly stood there looking at that man helpless, down, and possibly shed some tears. Just stood there shedding tears over the condition of this poor individual. But brother compassion, you can stand there and shed tears till the sun goes down. You haven't done him one bit of good in the world. That's just the starting place. Praise the Lord. But after compassion, brother compassion stood there, maybe got down by his side. He's on a bed, the scripture leads us to believe, of some description. May have talked to him. May have wept with him. May have sympathized with him. But he still hasn't done him any good other than feeling sympathy. And that's no doubt was to some extent encouraging. But it's going to take more. It takes that, but it's going to take more than that. So the second brother walks up, and I name him Brother Faith. And Brother Faith and Brother Compassion could have had a little conversation. Now, if you're concerned about this man, and you've been here weeping with him and talking to him and sympathizing with him, I know someone that can heal him. I see there's your next step. I know someone that can heal him. And thank God we know someone that can save that sinner where you're going. We know someone that can heal that sinner where you're going. Know someone. Well, I don't know how long Brother Faith and Brother Compassion stood there and talked about the condition of the man and knowing someone that can heal him. And this Brother Compassion may have said, why, who is it that can heal a man in that predicament? Brother Faith said, Jesus of Nazareth can heal him. He can heal leprosy. He can raise the dead. He can heal blinded eyes. He can unstop deaf ears. He can do anything. And if he just had the chance, he could heal this man that's sick of the palsy. He could stand up and walk like we're walking. He could have health like we have. You mean to tell me that there's someone that can heal a man sick of the palsy? Yes, sir, I know he can. Praise God, I have every reason in the world to know he can do it. And my, I don't know how long they rejoiced over the fact that there's someone that can heal. There's someone that can deliver. Praise God, they may have rejoiced over that for a whole hour or so. And a lot of time we gather together in our churches and we talk about what the Lord can do and what the Lord has done. And we just shout about His ability to heal. But right out there across the street, there's somebody that's sick. We can shout about He has power to save. But we haven't knocked on nobody's door in 6 months. But we go to church and shout about what the Lord can do. Give Him a chance to do it. Preached to a group of preachers one time. Well, I guess I am now. The devil knows. Devil knows you preachers are going to preach next Sunday night. He knows you are. He can't keep you from it. He's found that out. He's going to go with you and try to give you something. He's not going to try to get you to preach a lie. He knows you're not going to do it. So he just try to detour you, give you a message that's not the mind of God for that particular service. You don't know how I wrestle over these things, huh? Now, Lord, is this from you? I want this to be from you. Oh, he's very slick, cunning. Sister Glass, now, I don't know what brought it up, but we was talking about a revival we conducted several years ago, and I evangelized for 3 years in one of the happiest 3 years of my life. I always wanted to do it. With no other encumbrances whatsoever. No church, no organization, position, no responsibility other than just preaching. And we held a revival. 178 people received the Holy Ghost. Next revival, we're going to. It was understood that when I saw this one closing, I would write them. Well, I wrote them a letter. And I got one right back just a day or so before we closed. Oh, Brother Glass, we're so glad you're coming. I pastored in the vicinity of where I was going, and She said, "A lady minister," she said, "I announced your coming in our last fellowship meeting." And said, "A group of the pastors came around and said, just as soon as you find out the date," she said, "now since I have the date, I'm going to let them know. You let us know. You're going to try to arrange it where we won't have anything to keep us from going on our off nights." And said, "Brother Glass, we're going to have a time. Oh, we're going to have a time. Nobody may not get the Holy Ghost, but we're going to have a great time." Now, why did she put that in there? Why? I almost canceled out going. What's the use to go if the pastor's got that in their mind? Praise the Lord. But we go to church and we talk about what all God can do if He would. Why do you think He won't? The leper said, "If thou wilt, thou canst heal me." Why did you say, "If thou wilt"? Leave that "if" out. Thou wilt. Let's not let the devil put that in our subconscious thinking that He won't. He can. He can't make us say He can't. He can't make us say He can't. But He is just inserting there, "if He will, if He will." Praise God. He will. He will. All the faith said, I know somebody that can heal this man. And if you're that concerned about him, I'm just telling you, I know somebody that can do it. But he's not healed yet. All of you know him. All of your sympathy, brother compassion, and brother faith alone has not done that man one bit of good. He's still sick of the palsy. Of course, there is a people that preaches, but that's all it takes. Just to believe that the Lord is, and you're saved, you're all right. I never wanted to break up a funeral and preach it myself so bad in my life as I did one time. This young man instantly killed in a Saturday night car wreck, drunk. He went in one roadside drive-in and drank another bottle of beer and asked where so-and-so was. Someone told him he's down at the next one, several miles down the road. I left there and he was there. This boy staggered out and got in his car and started down there and had a head-on collision and killed him instantly. And the preacher preached his funeral, and because he had some loved ones in our church, I went. And this is not what somebody told me. I heard the preacher say it. House full of people. Usually a sudden accident like that attracts a lot of people's attention, and they'll go to the funeral. Lay there sick in the bed 6 months, and they forget all about it, and they won't go. But an accidental death will get a good crowd for a funeral. And there was a crowd there. And that preacher said, "This young man's mother told me when he was a schoolboy, they were poor. It was cold one morning, and he was having to go to school barefooted. And she said, she sympathized with him, said, 'Son, I'm so sorry you don't have no shoes.' And he said, 'Mother, don't worry about me a pair of shoes. The Lord will provide a pair some way or other.'" And said, "That statement makes me to know he believed in the Lord. And he's with the Lord today. Tell all those sinners that's all it." Brother, I wanted to get up there and let them know it takes more than that. Praise the Lord. Faith and compassion hasn't done this man one ounce of good. And you're going to have to go to the field with more than compassion and faith. Or you're coming back empty-handed. As essential and necessary as they are. But another one walks up. And I call him Brother Works.
Brother Works. Oh, what's going on here? Well, Brother Compassion, wiping tears back. Can't you see this poor man here, his predicament? Can't you see that he's sick of the palsy? That's what I'm doing here, and fighting the tears and sobbing. And Brother Faith speaks up and said, and I told him, I know someone that can heal him. I know he can do it. He's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. Caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. And I know he can heal him. And Brother Work said, well, if you care and there's somebody that can heal him, let's do something about it. Where is that man? Where is that man that can heal this man? Well, I heard he's over at Capernaum. Well, let's take him over there. Don't tell me faith alone will do the work. It takes faith. Praise God. So I heard a preacher say that faith and works are as much kin as two twin sisters. You know, contrary to me, I didn't agree with that. I said to myself, they're more kin than that. One twin can die and the other live. But you have faith or works, either one die and the other will not live. You show me your faith by your works, without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead being alone. Dead. There's some work to do. And I'd like to tell you in passing, the Lord's not sending you out there to do it by yourself. He says we are workers together. He's going to work with you. You work, he works with you. Praise the Lord. He'll do the heavy work. You'll do the light work. He'll do the heavy work. Woo! Anybody, just anybody. Just any little, you could go out there where the juniors are. You could have got them to do this. Fill up those glasses or pitchers with water. They can do that. Now you go serve it to the guests out there. That little 12-year-old girl could do that. That's the light work. That's all you and I'll ever do is the light work. He does the heavy work. While they were going with that water, the Lord performed his first miracle and turned it into wine. Boy, look how we're working together. Me and the Lord serve best wine to those guests. Me and the Lord. Yeah, didn't me do a whole lot. Oh, I'm so glad he's promised to work with you. Work with you. The missions division is much in sympathy with you. I'd just like to pause here and tell you missionaries, I heard a little discussion here yesterday. I never wanted to come up and say anything so bad in my life. I served on boards for many, many years. Missionary boards, district boards, general boards. I've served year in and year out. And I know what it is to go to a board meeting and sit there 15, 16 hours. Sometimes we've gone all night long, all day and into the next night. And somebody out there waiting for you, pacing the floor, mad at you. When you're in there fretting and praying and crying over problems. And then somebody get impatient with the board. I tell you, men, you don't know what that board goes through for you. You just got one problem. That's all you got's your problem. They got all the problems. Not all that's just here, but all the missionaries on the field, they got their problems. You expect to walk in there and you're a king when you walk in. Boy, I'm supposed to be bowed down to. I better get off of that. It kind of burned me. It stung me. I know what it is. Been there too many times. You out drinking coffee and eating hamburgers, having a big time uptown after church, and they're called into a board meeting. You know what they get for it? That peanut you saw them eat. And your criticism. And they don't go too good together. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Well, old brother works. He got a moving. And works will get you to moving. And the fourth one, I suppose he was there to hold up his end of the load, but he's really not needed yet.
I'll tell you what,
he's really not needed yet. Compassion has moved on faith to believe that he can get healed. And compassion and faith together has moved on works. And works has got them moving. Got them going to where Jesus is. And there's four of them, and he's on a bed. You can visualize with me, one getting this corner and one that one, and here they go. And when they got to where Jesus was, he was teaching in a building. And that building was crowded out to its capacity. And I don't know why. I believe people are more polite today than they were then. I believe they are. I believe there's a group of people here right now. If they'd have been about this poor dying person. I think about the woman with an issue of blood. A press around the Lord. Looks like any great big old man in the world would have took the initiative and opened a path. Follow me, lady. Issue of blood for 12 years. Die and spent all she had on physicians and no better. I believe there's men right here. They'd have just said, lady, you follow me. And they'd have just opened a path and got her down to where Jesus was. But because of the press, and nobody cared, no compassion, no sympathy, no concern. And that poor woman had to press her way through in her weakened condition. Thank the Lord. The Lord knew she was coming. He was waiting for her. And the moment she touched the hem of his garment, stop. Who touched me? Oh, somebody answered it. This crowd here, anybody could have touched you. I don't mean who bumped up against me. I felt a touch of faith. And that poor woman there. Well, we've done all we can do. And you know, we find a lot of consolation in doing all we can do. We have brought this man to where Jesus is, but that's as far as we can't get to him. We can't get to him. Compassion could say, faith, I thank you for making me to believe. And Brother Watts, I thank you for bringing him as far as we can. And we're justified after we've done all we can. I'd like to preach on this. And it'd cross a lot of your theology. Jesus said, when you've done all you can do, you've done no more than your duty. Nothing to brag about. You're going to have to go beyond that if you become profitable. You're still an unprofitable servant. You're going to have to go beyond what you can do in your duty if you're profitable. And I find more unprofitable servants are cast out. If all you do is your duty, you're unprofitable. Now I'm going to do something. I've got to preach on a minute. How did David become profitable? He went on beyond his duty. His duty was to take this. He went on beyond that. He became very profitable to God. How did Rebecca become the bride of Isaac? Just like you're going to become the bride of Christ. Went on beyond her duty. Her duty was to go draw the water. That was her afternoon chores.
She could have drawn the water and went back home. Nobody could have fussed at her. And here's a stranger. And the stranger says, give me a drink. And she was kind enough to give him a drink. But if she'd have stopped there, she wouldn't be the bride of Isaac. We're talking about being in the bride. We've got to get on beyond our duty. She never would have been the bride of Isaac had she not have said, and I'll water your camels. Nobody asked her to do that. God didn't ask her to do it. The servant didn't ask her to. But it's in the servant's mind, if she volunteers to water the camels, oh, give us some camels to water. Where are there some thirsty camels, Lord? I want to water those camels. Praise God. Praise God. Well, here's that fourth one. I name him Brother Perseverance. Don't take no for an answer. Perseverance implies a continuing to do something in spite of difficulties and obstacles. We're going to get this man to Jesus. Makes no difference about that crowded door. Makes no difference about that crowded window. This man's a dying, and there's one in there that can heal him. And we're going to get him to him some way, somehow or other. We may have to resort to the out of the ordinary. We can't do it in just the course of things. The course of things is walking up the steps and walking in the door. That's the course. But you're going to have to get off of the course to do things for God. I could preach a long time on that. Perseverance. I'm not giving up. I'm not taking no for an answer. If you'll take no for an answer, you're not going to accomplish as much as you want to. If you'll let doing all you think you can do, you're going to have to look around and figure out, there's a way. And it seems like that's the ones that kindly get the attention of the Lord. It's the ones that go off course, do something out of the ordinary, uncommon, and they get the attention of the Lord. That poor blind beggar out there, what a complex I'm sure he had. He hears the procession. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody walks over to him and tells him to hush. Don't disturb the Lord. Well, ordinarily, they hush. If it had been somebody in our churches today, they'd have got their precious little feelings hurt and got up and left, and they would have went back to that church. Well, we get down there with them and try to get them to call on the Lord, and they get their feelings hurt. He cried out. I'm not going to let nobody stop me. On down the road, Zacchaeus, a rich man. But my Lord stopped for that beggar. He had as much time for that beggar as he had for that rich man. Now, folks, I'd like to preach on that a long time. And I'll tell you why. I was in the category with Bartimaeus, not Zacchaeus. The Lord had time for me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Perseverance said there's got to be a way. We're going to make a way. While faith could have said and works could have said, they've done all I know to do. But we're going to do something else. We're not going to let no obstacle keep us from getting him to Christ. There's too much depending on it. He'll die of palsy. And there's one that can heal him. It's our obligation to get him there. And I'll tell you this. Jesus will heal and save everybody you bring to him. I see where some hard-hearted, brutal men brought an adulterous woman to Jesus
Don't ever bring nobody to Jesus if you want Him to destroy them. He'll save everybody you bring to Him. I don't care what your thoughts are about Him.
Brother Perseverance looked up there and saw that flat roof. I heard a preacher preach one time. Peter's on the housetop praying, said, I can just see him up on the comb of that roof. Don't say that. Don't say that. I preached a revival one time on the rooftop of the church. They built that church with a flat roof and the elevated roof. Strong building, it's a cement roof for the sanctuary beneath, the floor for the tabernacle. One time they had good steps in the back, and they go up and have their glory air conditioned days. They had their summer revivals on the top roof of the church. I prayed many times on the roof of that church, preached on it. Well, Brother Perseverance saw a flat roof. I know what we'll do. Let's just go up on that roof. Let's just imagine right where Jesus is. And I wonder whose building that was. What difference does it make? This man's worth more than that building. We'll explain it somewhere or other. And they tore the top off of there. Tore into that roof. And let that man down by some means on his bed. Right in front of where Jesus was. And Jesus is never too busy to heal and to save. I tell churches, don't interrupt my sermon with your shouting. If you can't hold it, get outside and shout up and down the halls.
And I'm going to say this, and I may not ought to, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel like God anointed preaching from the Word of God at that particular moment is not to be interrupted with tongues and interpretation.
Brother Glass, I can't wait! The Scripture says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. What's more important than preaching of the Word under the dynamic anointing of the Holy Ghost? After I finish, go ahead.
But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll gladly stop preaching any moment for a sinner to get saved.
Here's an example of it. They let that man down through the roof and Jesus stopped.
Thy sins be forgiven thee. There that four stands over there. Work accomplished. Work accomplished.
Brother, compassion started it all. Brother, faith added to it. Brother, works came along and encouraged the going. But when they went as far as they could, they thought, Brother, perseverance stepped up. No obstacle's going to stop us. No